latest technology.
The perfect must-have for every golfer.
The coolest trends.
Oh, gnarly!
Insight from the hottest talent and industry insiders.
Sometimes par is good enough to win.
The South Shore's only golf show on the radio.
This is Goldie Bounce Golf Live.
It's in the hole!
Here's your host, Liza Churchill.
Welcome to Goldie Bounce Golf. I'm your host, Liza Churchill. We're coming to you live from the lovely South Shore studios of 95.9 WATD. This past week, I covered the Mass Amateur Championship up at the Myopia Hunt Club in Hamilton. That is a spectacular place. The clubhouse seems to be probably the same one from the 1930s, or I wonder if it's the original clubhouse, which was built in 1882. The U.S. Open was held there in 1898, 1901, 1904, and 1908. And an interesting fact is that horses have the right of way at Myopia. At one point during the play was delayed as a horse trotted through the tee box. So that was really fun. Myopia also boasts the oldest active polo fields in the country. Polo matches are held there on Sundays. I think it's for a minimal fee, and it's open to the public. And they also partake in fox hunting still. And I think that's at Thanksgiving. The Mass Amateur Championship is a five-day event, and the format is the first 2 days are stroke play, and then there's 3 days of match play, with the final two opponents battling out for 36 holes. It takes some stamina for that. It seems like it's probably just as hard as Q School, PGA Tour Q School. Some of the best amateur players in New England compete in this event. MGA Player of the Decade, Frank Vanna Jr., last year's champ, Bill Drohan, Doug Clapp, and Mike Kaley, among others, were there. This year's runner-up is Dan Head. Dan calls Wellesley Country Club his home, and Dan is the first golfer from Wellesley Country Club to advance to the finals of the Mass Amateur event since 1925, when W.P. Hersey did it. This summer is also Wellesley's centennial celebration, and Dan said that he had so much support and goodwill from his friends over at Wellesley, and during his final day, they were there to cheer him on, so he was really happy about that. I have a pre-taped interview from Dan after his final round, and here's what Dan had to say. I'm here at the 102nd Mass Amateur Championship with runner-up Wellesley Country Club's Dan Head. Dan, you battled it out this week, playing about 144 holes of golf, eventually losing in your final round to 2008 champ John Hadjis. What happened out there today?
We went back and forth all day, and we had a great match. You know, no one was ever more than two up or two down. Made a lot of birdies, a lot of great up and downs, back and forth. Me, personally, I was just trying to stay in it and hang with John, because John is he's a veteran around here, and he's well-known. He won the championship in 2008, but I just, my putting kind of failed me in the middle part of the round and kind of fell apart at the end, but made a great run.
So no regrets?
No regrets. No, I'm perfectly happy with how everything transpired.
Do you think the 20-year age difference between you and your final round opponent, 2008 Mass Am champ John Hadjis, was a factor in the match?
No. I mean, I felt fatigued at points during the match, and if he did, he didn't show it, because he was consistent all day long.
So, like, with age comes experience, you think?
Oh, absolutely. He knows what he's doing, and he's a great match play player. He just stays in every hole and makes his pars and birdies and puts the pressure on his opponent.
Dan, after your quarterfinal win, you said that you were happy just to be in contention and were going to go out there and have fun with it. Was that the case in your grueling 36-hole final match against John Hadjis today?
Absolutely. I mean, I was having fun all day, but, I got one up with maybe six or seven to play, and I started to think about winning it, and that was probably just a bad mentality to have. But overall, I had a great day, a lot of fun playing with John.
Good attitude to have. Out of all your matches this week, which one stands out as your toughest?
This one, probably. It was 36 holes, and John never really makes a mistake or gives up, so you're just grinding the whole day and, thinking about every shot.
You cited your other victories were club championship honors at the Wellesley Country Club in 2000 and 2001 at the tender age of 19 and 20. How does the state amateur runner-up compare to that? I mean, it's a five-day stroke and match play event.
No, this is definitely at the top of the list. I had never made match play before. We've got a lot of talent up at Wellesley Country Club, but to win, to get to the finals at the Mass Amateur is just, it's an accomplishment. It only happens for some people once in a lifetime. Hopefully it doesn't to me, but I am, this is the top of my list right now.
I know that they're having the centennial celebrations at the Wellesley Country Club this season. You have a lot of backing and support from the club. How's that been for you?
It's been great. People have been calling and emailing all week. Everyone's been rooting for me and watching it online. Some of the guys came up today and yesterday to watch. The support has been unbelievable. People are proud and happy about the whole thing.
Definitely. What did you think of the Myopia Hunt Club? I mean, during your final round, first match on hole three. Play was delayed as a horse trotted through the teeing area. Is that fun?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I mean, this place, you go back in time here. They, you know, they still fox hunt, I think, every Thanksgiving. And they've got, you know, the stables. But this is a beautiful club, and it's got a great history and great golf course.
Well, Dan, I want to thank you so much for speaking to WATD Sports, and good luck in the future.
Thank you.
You're listening to Goldie Bounce Golf Live on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Liza Churchill. Up next, a word from my sponsor, Golfology. July is firecracker sale days at Golfology's Attleboro location. Big deal, so check it out.
To play like a pro, you have to shop at the best.
Throughout the entire month of July, get the pro treatment with Golfology's Firecracker Blowout Sale. Available only in our Attleboro store. 20% off store-wide. Discounts as high as 35%. And all demo and floor stock merchandise dramatically reduced. Don't miss the event of the season only at Golfology's Attleboro location. 734 Newport Avenue, Route 1A. Bing products excluded.
You're listening to Goldie Bounce Golf Live on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Liza Churchill. This past week, I covered the 102nd Massachusetts Amateur Championship at the Myopia Hunt Club. Thorny Lee's John Hadges won the title for the second time in 3 years, the last being in 2008 at the Catansett Club. John's final opponent was 20 years his junior, Wellesley Country Club's Dan Head. Here's what John had to say after his final round. John, congratulations on your win here today at the 102nd Mass Amateur Championship. Two times a charm.
Today was fantastic. Dan, Head, and myself, we played a great match. Dan's a great guy. It was back and forth. We didn't know what the outcome was going to be until the very end. But it was a great match all the way around.
Once again, you're going down in the history books, along with the likes of Francis Ouimet, PGA Tour professionals James Driscoll, Franny Quinn, and Nationwide Tour player Rob Oppenheim. Any thoughts about that?
You know, it's equally special. Winning 2 years ago at Catansett was my first time, and equally so here at Myopia. It's really special place, and to be in company with those list of names, it's quite an honor. Quite an honor.
Did you ever have thoughts of maybe trying out for the PGA Tour?
No. After watching these young kids play, they hit it off a long ways, and it's really not my game, and that's the game today on tour.
Were you ecstatic to win your quarterfinal match against two-time champ, MGA Player of the Decade, Frank Vanna? Vanna said you kept the pressure on him all day.
You know, I enjoy playing with Frank. We played a lot of golf together. We compete. I really enjoy competing against him, and sometimes I win against him, and sometimes, you know, he wins. And I really enjoy it, and it's always a pleasure to play with him.
When you play against each other, do you know each other's games so well, or does he switch it up occasionally on you?
You know, Frank's very steady. I think both our games are very steady, and what it comes down to is really who's making the putts for the most part. Because, we navigate it throughout the golf course, and it's basically who's putting that day.
Do you think experience had a part in this victory? I mean, you played approximately 144 holes of golf this week. Your final round opponent, Wellesley Country Club's Dan Head, was about 20 years your junior.
To be honest with you, when I first started this morning, I thought I might have an advantage because of experience. I've been around a little longer than Dan. However, I quickly realized after starting out that, you know, Dan was, even though I never heard of Dan, and he just started, I think, playing in these competitive tournaments, I had my hands full with Dan. He was a great guy. He was a very good player. Really impressed with his game. Very steady.
Maybe you guys will meet again in another MGA event.
Yes, yes, yes. After witnessing his game, I'm sure Dan will be back, whether it's this event or another.
During your final round match, the course setup was the same for the afternoon round. How do you think that affected your game plan?
Throughout the week, whatever the day was, you know, you're pretty much, at least in my case, I hit fortunately the same shots, and I kind of went along, plodded along. And I hit most of the time, actually all week, I hit the same clubs pretty much on every hole, on every tee. You know, the irons off the fairways might have varied depending on the wind, but pretty much hit the same club on each tee.
Well, I wish you well in the future, John, and thank you so much for speaking to WATD Sports.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Goldie Bounce Golf Live on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back. You're listening to Goldie Bounce Golf on 95.9 WATD. I don't know if y'all have been golfing this summer, but the weather has been spectacular. I live on Cape Cod, and not only is it beach days every day, it's golfing days. My next guest is Will Stearns. Will and his family own a really unique golf course in Plymouth. It's built on a 100-acre cranberry bog. It's called Southers Marsh Golf Club. Hi, Will. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having us.
Oh, thank you for being available.
Oh, no. You know, we're always available.
Well, I've been a fan of your golf course for a number of years, although you've never met me.
You have to introduce yourself the next time you're over.
Definitely. I'll come by and visit. I've been dying to come by. So you're located in Plymouth on 100-acre cranberry bog?
Yep. I mean, the whole parcel is 116 acres. There's 32 acres of cranberries, and then the rest is sort of golf course and maintenance buildings in my parents' house and stuff like that. Yeah, we were in the cranberry business for a long time. I'm actually a fourth-generation cranberry farmer, and when the cranberry market fell apart in 99, we had to come up with something else to do, and this was something else we decided on.
I think it's a really interesting idea. It was very entrepreneurial for you. Actually.
Yeah, it was. You know, we didn't obviously have any golf course management experience. In 95, my father, who lives right at the course, put in four golf greens at a time that we hadn't really ever picked up clubs before, just for personal use. And those would probably average at about 1,000 square feet, but because we didn't play, we weren't aware of the fact that those were too small to hit until we went out there the first time and tried to play. Sort of the experience with that four-hole course and what later became a five-hole course from 95 to 99 made us think it would be fun to do it full-time when we were forced into finding a new career when the cranberry market collapsed.
I actually knew people on the Cape that, they had bought cranberry bogs thinking that it would help their it would be their retirement, something to do, and that was pretty awful when the market crashed like that.
Yeah, that was a tough time for the in 2 years, the price of cranberries went from around $60 a barrel to $40 a barrel to $8 a barrel.
Oh, it was awful.
So, yeah, it was disaster, and, you know, we were in the process of putting in about 25 more acres of cranberries on the site, and we're like, this is ridiculous. We're going to have to do something else. So there was a lot of heavy equipment already here, and then we just sort of said, instead of putting more cranberries in, let's build a golf course. That'll be fun.
Oh, I know. I have so many questions to ask you, so I guess I'll just start off. How did you build it? Did you have, since you weren't superintendent by trade and you really didn't really golf, how did you solicit the proper support to build your golf course?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, we had become, in that four-year stretch, we became avid golfers. I mean, I think, you know, anyone who has played the sport can see how it can be addicting.
It's very addicting.
Once you get the fever, you know, we went from not playing at all to playing every day in the backyard and then playing in the area.
Oh, yeah.
But we hired a local guy to do the routing, and then we hired Dan Tibbett out of Marshfield to shape the tees and greens and bunkers. And basically, he just built into the landscape what he thought would fit and would be reasonable to maintain. And it turns out, in hindsight, we got kind of lucky, because that's not a bad way to build a golf course. I mean, that's how the classic golf courses of 100 years ago that are still revered today, that's how they built them back then. Maybe not every inch of earth moving was on a plan, but when you just sort of feed it into the natural surroundings, it tends to work pretty well.
Well, it seems to be the trend in golf course construction now to copy the classics from the 20s and make it like the way the environment is around
it. Yeah, no, for sure. That's definitely the way it's going, a return to strategic golf, making people have to make choices on a tee, as opposed to just say, hey, I'm going to hit driver 14 times today and, bomb it down the middle. Anywhere down the middle would be good, you know. So, yeah, that's what we're going for. You know, we wanted each hole to pose a unique challenge. So it ended up coming out much better than we ever could have dreamed, given the little amount of experience we had. I mean, we definitely got lucky.
Tell me about the layout of the course. You have 7 par 4s and 11 par 3s.
You know, like I said, we have 116 acres to work with, and there weren't any cranberry bogs on the site, and my parents didn't even need a place to live. We probably would have had space for a regulation 18. But with those constraints, we tried to build as much of a golf course as we could, given the space we had to work with. But our big goal, we knew there was going to be a lot of repetition, you know, with the par 3. So we wanted to make sure that, made a conscious effort to make sure that you were going to have to hit different clubs. They range in distance from 110 yards with cranberry bogs front and behind the green to 190 yards. You know, we wanted to make sure all our par fours were legitimate golf holes. You know, lots of times you see it's par four, but really it's 220 yards, really a par four.
Right.
It's a par four on the scorecard. We want to make sure we had 18 golf holes that could stand on their own.
The executive courses like yours, I think that they're very challenging because, as you said, people are used to just taking their driver out and bombing.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, there are definitely some spots where you can hit driver here or should hit driver here, but I think that we're in a good spot because where it allows us to be priced, it's a real golf experience for less money, and you know, and you're done in 3.5 hours, and it's not, everyone's so busy these days, if you have a job, you're thankful. It's hard to say, I'm going to take a lot of time off to play golf, but if you can whip around in 3.5 hours, that makes it a little more palatable.
And you also have a driving range there, excuse me.
We do. Yeah, it's full-length driving range.
Is it on the grass or are there mats?
They're mats, yep.
Now, you've won tons of accolades over the years. Can you tell me about some of them?
Yeah, I mean, the one, obviously, we're most proud of is we've been named the number one value in Massachusetts public golf courses for the last 3 years by the New England Golf Guide. They rate in the vicinity of 650 courses throughout New England every year. And actually, in 2009, we were the number one in all of New England, but a course in Connecticut has passed us up. So we're going to have to get back on the stick, I guess, and you know, figure out where we're at. But no, we're very proud of that. I mean, this has been an absolute labor of love, and sometimes it's been hard. You know, it's taken a lot of work. It is nice to be recognized, and you know, nothing makes us happier than when someone comes in and says, geez, you know, I just want to tell you I had a great time. Everyone's so friendly.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
The place is in great condition. I mean, it sort of makes it all worthwhile, you know, because it can be a long day.
Definitely. I mean, golf's 24/7 during the season.
Yeah, it's sort of the all or nothing nature of the business. But, you know, despite not having golf experience, our background as farmers has really prepared us pretty well for that type of all-consuming lifestyle. You know, I mean, it's the grass or cranberries or whatever living thing it is, it doesn't care that it's Sunday and you want to go to the beach with your buddies. It needs water now. And when you grow up in that lifestyle and you're used to that,
right.
It's a big advantage.
I hear, you know, what do you use for the greens? I mean, there's all these organic stuff, eco-friendly pesticides that is the trend now. I can hear you.
Okay, that's better. My phone battery is dying.
Oh, wow. Don't cut out on me.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I said that the trend is, you know, there's all these courses that are eco-friendly and using more organic pesticides. Do you guys do stuff like that there?
Yeah, we actually just this winter, we're seeking our Audubon certification.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we just started down the path. My wife is an environmental engineer, and she has really helped us. But, you know, like
this land has been
in my family for 3 generations now, and we plan on it continuing like that, and it's all about sustainability. You know, I mean, I think golf courses, in a way, get sort of an unfair, bad reputation for stuff like that, but, I mean, it is something to always keep in the forefront of your mind. But at the same token, when we started down this Audubon road, I thought we were going to have to make some significant changes to the way we were doing things. And really, 85 to 90% of what we're doing is already in compliance, and it's just some tweaking here and there and how to get us into full compliance and some paperwork and documentation and things like that. So, no, it's exciting. I mean, we our goal is to become an Audubon cooperative sanctuary. Hopefully in a few years we'll have all the categories complete, but yeah, we're on our way, and it's pretty exciting.
Well, congratulations. I was speaking to Jim Fitzroy, the president of the Golf Course Superintendents Association, and he was telling me about the drainage at Augusta. Golf courses get these really bad raps for, they're wasting water, but the way they have the drainage systems now, they just reuse all the water.
Yeah, no, and we're lucky. Where we have the cranberries on site, that's the low point of the site. We use, especially when the weather's like this, we do use a lot of water on the golf course, but it's nothing compared to the cranberry bog where we need to flood for harvest in the winter and stuff. So water management on the cranberry in the cranberry industry is way more important than it is on the golf. So we have, before we even put the first bulldozer on the site to begin construction of the golf course, we had an unbelievable water management system already in place. It's been a huge help. I mean, you know, all the runoff for us, we're able to feed into our cranberry system and recapture it and reuse it, and it's been working out pretty well.
Well, that's great. Now, overall, you've been open for about 9 years. How has the experience been? Does it seem like 30 years that you've been open?
In some ways, it seems like 30 years. In some ways, it seems like the blink of an eye. I mean,
right.
If it's one thing that we underestimated, it's how many hours are in the day. When you're here at 5 o'clock to start mowing greens and taking care of that stuff, and then you're telling people it's last call at 9:30 at night, it's kind of a long day. Everyone in the family, a couple of my brothers-in-law, my sisters have been involved. My father is here all the time. And I think at a lot of places, the guy who's closing at 10 o'clock at night isn't the same person who's going to be back first thing in the morning.
Right.
But on the other hand, I think people like this, that we're accessible, and we have become very good friends with a lot of our regulars. And my father always says he likes to make it if he's going to spend all his time here,
make it like a
he's
going
to make it a fun place to be. You know, I mean, it's his life, it's his passion, and you know, everyone sort of feeds off his enthusiasm.
Well, I think that's wonderful in this day and age. A lot of the golf courses are owned by huge corporations, or they're run by corporations, and it's nice to see a family environment. It's like when people golf anyway, it's like family.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. We always say that when we write the book, that's when we're really going to make money. But it's been interesting. I mean, I don't know how many more courses will be built where just a family gets together and says, we have some land and we're going to do this. As it is now, it's very expensive to build. And fortunately, it's the second or third owner who buys it for 50 cents on the dollar,
right,
that ends up making a go of it. And it's unfortunate because there's a lot of people out there. I mean, there are only so many abandoned dune success stories, you know, people with deep pockets. We sort of, we didn't have deep pockets, but we put a lot of sweat equity into it, and
right,
that's what we had to contribute.
Well, I know that you have been voted best place to hold an event because of the scenic beauty, and I read somewhere that you had set up a romantic candlelight dinner for a couple out on one of the greens with all the works.
My father he's just bound and determined that everyone who comes down the hill is going to have the time of their life.
All right.
And he's not afraid to take it to the next level, I guess. You know, I mean, he wants everyone to have a good time. And there are stories of him bringing Chardonnay and a shrimp cocktail out to ladies who weren't having the best round. And he just wants to make sure that everyone has a good time. The wedding business was something that we hadn't really anticipated getting into. We were drawing up plans for this, but it's been stressful. There are a lot of work. You know, you have to, it's a lot of pressure to make someone's childhood dreams a reality.
Right.
Where everything really has to be picture perfect in every way. But when it goes off without a hitch, it's hard to put a price tag on someone being that thankful. So it's fun.
Well, listen, stay on the line, Will. Up next, a word from my sponsor, Golfology.
All right, great.
To play like a pro, you have to shop at the best. Golfology offers the best top-of-the-line equipment, in-store demos, computerized club fitting, and certified golfologists ready to help you take your game to the next level. Golfology, 19 consecutive years as winner of the 25 best golf course retailers in America, according to Golf World Business. In Hanover and Hyannis, and online at golfologyusa.com.
You're listening to Goldie Bounce Golf Live on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back. I'm Liza Churchill. My guest this evening is Will Stearns. Will is the owner of Southers Marsh Golf Course in Plymouth. Will, we only have a couple minutes left, so I'd like to talk about, you know, I know you have lots of leagues there. Can you tell me a little bit about them?
It's been great for us. I think being able to play 18 holes in a short amount of time, we have 18-hole golf leagues, but we sort of have something for everyone. Mondays is 50 and over from the middle tees. Tuesday is open to everyone from the back tees. Wednesday we have our women's league, where some players play 9 holes and some play 18 holes. And then Thursday we play from the middle tees. But you can tee off any time during the day, and you know everyone's busy, so there are no long-term commitments or registration fees or a set schedule where you get to find replacements. It's just show up when it's convenient for you. And a lot of people play 23-week season. We have a lot of people who play 23 weeks. We have some that play 15. We have some that play three times a year. But they know if they show up at Southers Marsh on a Tuesday, they can get in a league where there's 75 people and a skins pool and stuff like that. And, it's worked out pretty well for us.
All right. Well, I know you're on Facebook, too. Southers Marsh on Facebook.
Yeah, that's new for us. So we're still sort of feeling our way along. But I did try and put a post that we were going to be on ATV this evening.
I saw it. Thank you so much. And go to southersmarsh.com for all the info on the league's functions and tee times. And you have internet specials there, too. Thank you so much, Will, for coming on. It was a pleasure.
All right. Thank you very much, Liza.
Goldie Bounce Golf is on Facebook as well. Check it out. I have tons of local golf news and fun giveaways, too. Don't forget, for a behind-the-scenes look at the production of the Goldie Bounce Golf Show, check out my blog at goldiebouncegolf.com.
Tune in to Goldie Bounce Golf Live. Heard every Sunday night at 6:30 exclusively on 95.9 WATD.